Yo, what is up, guys? Happy Thursday. I hope everyone's having a great day, great week. I hope everyone had a great 420. I am one of your co-hosts, Anthony Lee, aka Full Time Tony, here with my guy, JC.
JC Coates
with a new Instagram name. I'm going to keep reminding people about that.
JC.Coates.
JC.Coates, not JC underscore JC Coates underscore JC.
I've ascended.
He ascended. He has gone up to the millennial level of making your names on Instagram shorter. But listen, JC, we had a great Monday.
Monday was incredible.
Monday was nuts. I mean, you know, you can give a little brief, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, so Monday was 420, right? But it was, you know, it's my favorite holiday, but really what comes top of mind is the cannabis community, right?
Yeah.
The cannabis community came in big time on 420 for our 420
Stay Home, Stay High extravaganza.
Yes, brought to you by Nevada Normal, and it was just incredible.
Yeah, we did 5 hours of live content. It was absolutely insane. We ended up finishing with about 6,000 views when the 6,000 views when the live was done. I think it's now up to almost 8,500 views.
Yes, which is, I think, you know, of all the cannabis live events for that day, you know, ours had probably the
most views. No offense to any of the anybody else that did them. You know, lots of respect because that's not an easy task, but we blew it out of the fucking water.
Yeah, so. And just to make a point, you guys did it, right? The Nevada cannabis community. So thank you.
Yeah, shouts out to them. Shout out to Madison and Tina, and shout out to myself. Honestly,
shout out to Full Time Tony.
I'm gonna give myself some props.
I think you were up until 3 o'clock in the morning the day before,
but multiple days before.
You were a little grumpy the next day.
I was,
but you know, we got through it.
Yeah, we got through it, and that's all that matters. But today we have a great guest coming on the show.
Yes, we do.
This person currently works in logistics in cannabis, which is a very, very crucial part of cannabis today.
Yeah, because if you don't know. How does it work, right? I mean,
well, we don't. I mean, right now, due to the state of Nevada from the governor, cannabis can't be on curbside, so everything has to be delivered, which is a fucking mess for the most part. And so, you know, you have companies that just have these distribution licenses that have been doing it, but now have to kind of change their business model, not change their business model, but ramp up their business model mm-hmm. to be able to support the amount of deliveries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's basically how many licenses, right? You got the cultivation license, you got the retail license, you got the production license, and then another prominent license is the distribution license.
Yes. And so this person works for a company who is one of the first people in the state to get this distribution license. And the guest today is the director of marketing for Blackbird, Jamil. What's up, my man? How we doing?
Hey there. How's it going?
Nice.
What's up, brother? So you're in Reno right now.
Yes, I am.
How's COVID treating you?
It's all right. I've been in this same room for 40 some odd days now, something like that.
Yeah. No, we're feeling your pain. So listen, you know, we're in the middle of this crazy times right now. Blackbird is one of the most prominent delivery services in Nevada. How are you guys handling what's going on right now?
Yeah, so I mean, it was a huge adjustment when the governor Sisolak first made his announcement on, I think it was March 20th. We saw like a 600% increase in our business overnight. We had more new accounts on Blackbird Go, which is our marketplace, than ever before, like literally than in the 5 years prior. And we had to take steps to be able to like increase our capacity because we were like meeting our operational capacity every single day.
Nice.
Yeah, that's crazy. So if you could just break it down, just kind of explain more to the listeners and the viewers right now, there's two sides of your business, which is the delivery to the consumer and then delivery between licenses to licenses. Can you kind of just explain that, what that looks like?
Yeah, so it's actually the two sides that we have are a software side and then a services side. And so on our software side, we have a full retail platform that includes a point of.
Did he freeze on us?
As well as. Oh.
No, you're good. Nope, you're good.
Sorry.
So you got the software side and the.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the operation side is, yeah, wholesale distribution and transportation and then last mile delivery. We have a license here in Nevada as well as in California.
Nice.
Awesome.
Nice. So, you know, going back, you know, I think you guys, Blackbird was one of the first distribution licenses here in Nevada, if not the first that was up and running. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, I used to work, you know, as a marketing director for New Leaf back when it was medical, and was there, you know, through the, you know, the transition of recreational and everything. If I remember right, there was a point in time when, you know, if you had to use delivery, right, Blackbird was your only choice, right? But now there's a lot of choices, right? So it seems like that, you know, Blackbird, you know, kind of rose as a leader in the market and has been able to, you know, serve the cannabis community for a long time. But now that there's, you know, a bunch of different, you know, choices, why does, and, you know, in your opinion, why does Blackbird remain to have higher service rates than some of the other providers?
You know, we are one of the first people out of the gate, like you said, and through that we did a lot of on the ground kind of shaking hands, kissing babies, like I always say. Like, we built all of our relationships from the ground up, and so I think we've really, you know, proved ourselves to be solid partners to all of our retail partners and all of our wholesale partners as well. And it also, you know, just the team behind Blackbird and logistics is our bread and butter. That's really where our background is. And then we moved into cannabis. And so I think that has a lot to do with, you know, the way we're able to streamline our operations, the way that we're able to kind of be very efficient. And what you have now is a lot of people having to shift all of their bud tenders to being drivers and all of these kind of different scenarios that I think are really highlighting the difficulties in logistics in general.
Cool. Cool. And what has been the main kind of like response from Blackbird given the virus today to the community?
Is that we are doing everything in our power to increase our capacity. You know, when we first, when the announcement was first made and everything went to delivery only, like I said, we were meeting our operational capacity, and that left so many people without access to cannabis. And so we just continue to like streamline that. And just today, actually, we rolled out scheduled delivery. So now when you place an order, you can schedule a more definite window for when that's delivered, kind of removing that guessing game out of it. But it's just that, you know, we're here to serve the community and to keep it moving.
Nice.
That's awesome. You know, and you touched on it, right? There's a lot of people in the community that can't get cannabis right now legally. A lot of them are turning to the black market, unfortunately. And we've been seeing it, and I know it's been a concern on Nevada Normal how dispensaries are, you know, doing these very high order minimums. Are you guys doing something similar to that, or how's that? What's that look like? Because, you know, there's a lot of people in the market that can only spend $20 to $30 when they go to a dispensary.
Yeah, so our order minimums are actually set by our dispensary partners. And so, you know, we just kind of have our role is we pick up the orders and we take them to the end consumer and really act as like an extension of those businesses. But, you know, I do recognize that there's these really high barriers for a lot of people. And at the same time, I think we have to recognize that logistics and direct to consumer models are really expensive to run. When you look at things like Uber and Lyft and, you know, like mail delivery for mattresses and things like that, all of them have these insane costs, which is, you know, it just translates directly to how difficult it is for those things.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I don't want to keep on this COVID topic for sure. For the whole time. I do want to talk about you and your role in Blackbird.
Yes.
Blackbird has notoriously been known for really good marketing since they started, right? Very hip, trendy marketing that's very socially conscious. Can you tell us more about, you know, why the company went in that direction?
So I actually came to Blackbird because of the reputation that they had built in the community. And up here in Northern Nevada, and it's similar down in Vegas as well, but in Reno, Blackbird started in this community of friends who were all connected in like artistic ways and very focused on community values and things. And so I think that, I think I froze again. Sorry.
No, you're great.
I think that really kind of set the tone for the way that Blackbird is now. And so being very aesthetic driven and focused on what's happening in our community and being, you know, honest and truthful is also one of the biggest things for Blackbird.
That's great. And, you know, as I met you before you started working at Blackbird, when I was working for Everything Nevada, you were working as the marketing director for Hub. So it's just interesting, right? Because both you and me both weren't really in cannabis yet. I was doing the cannabis convention, well, working on the cannabis convention, and you were still working at the Hub. So it's interesting to see, right, you know, us being, you know, still in the marketing realm, but, you know, just transferring that to cannabis and how that is still relatable in Reno. You know, as someone that's owned, you know, Reno as Fuck and a couple other brands in Reno, those things really mix each other, right? The community, the businesses, the arts, the music. So I think it's really cool that Blackbird, you know, kind of puts that all together. With that being said, I think that you guys are, once again, going back to being, you know, socially conscious, you yourself are a part of the LGBTQ community. And I, you know, how is that community in cannabis? Is it affected? Is it niched? What's that look like being a part of that community, also in the cannabis community?
Yeah, I kind of didn't know what to expect when I got into cannabis, and I was really kind of interested to see, because my whole life I had heard about activism around cannabis that centered really heavily around the LGBT community, but I had never really understood that connection very well. And I also just kind of knew that cannabis was a very open industry, and brings all kinds of people from all over. And I will say that it's definitely much better than a lot of industries that I've worked in, or a lot of, you know, just capacities that I've been involved in different industries. But we still have a way to go. You know, I think a lot of the time when I go to different conventions or conferences and things like that, there's a lot of kind of leaving the topic aside, or just kind of assuming that it's represented without really explicitly bringing those conversations to the forefront. And I also think that there's not a lot of like ownership involved in that, which is difficult. And that's the same can be said for people of color. You know, the majority of this industry is owned and operated by white men, while people of color received like a worse time under prohibition and are still experiencing higher rates of arrests and jail time associated with cannabis, even in states where it's legal. So I think that, you know, it's definitely in a much better place than a lot of other industries, but we still have a lot of work to do.
And you know, when you say there's a lot of work to do, what do you think that is, right? Like, do you think that there needs to be more emphasis on acknowledging it, or is it more like there needs to be more, you know, in the same way that there's a Nevada Normal, or there's these social equity programs that help people that were affected by these, you know, ridiculous laws, pre-recreational cannabis? What do you think that is to help move that along?
I think it's multifaceted. You know, I think that from a marketing perspective, cannabis rates and cannabis use rates are pretty similar across demographics. And so LGBT people are completely a part of that, but they are not seen in a lot of like major marketing campaigns unless it's around specifically like an LGBT issue. So it's like, okay, for Pride, we want to do something for the LGBT community, or, you know, something to that capacity. But where is the seat at the table essentially for the LGBT community? And like, where do those perspectives fit in really in general? And how are you like bringing them into the conversation rather than like speaking to them or at them?
Yeah, no, definitely. No, that definitely makes sense. You brought up, you know, your marketing skills. You are the director of marketing for the interim director of marketing for Blackbird right now. But you started just as a marketing manager, the person that was helping out. How did you transition? You know, how did you work your way up? How did you transition from, you know, as an entry level position or a middle level position to now a director position?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a unique path. I think that we at Blackbird had some just kind of shifts that really aligned with the timing. When I originally started, I was working under a good friend of mine, Chelsea Kern, and she was the first marketing director for Blackbird, and she did an amazing job. And then I had actually been that was much more focused on kind of community outreach. And I created a social equity program. I did a lot of work with community organizations as well as legislators in the state of California and in the state of Massachusetts. And Massachusetts has the first state level social equity program. California has the most advanced ones. And then through that, you know, I really showed my ability to kind of create something from the ground up, to manage myself, and to really kind of push for change that I wanted to see, and rally people behind that change. And so an opportunity arose to step into this position. And, you know, I think Blackbird is a very complex thing to market, and it's hard for somebody to just walk in and understand. You know, we're a software company with operations, and we're one of the only tech companies in the cannabis industry with a license. So it's like, you know, there's all of these layers of intricacies, and it just gave me, I had this perspective from working in so many different layers and having to, you know, understand how we work. And on top of that, Blackbird, the leadership at Blackbird is really good at putting people where they're most effective. And so I think that I really demonstrated my level of acumen and my marketing, you know, skills, and that just gave them more encouragement to put me into this position.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I think, you know, that story of being able to, well, one, not a lot of people work for really good cannabis companies. You know, there's lots of companies in the market, as we all probably know, that suck. You know, that's being nice too. That the culture isn't there. They don't really understand, you know, the idea that, you know, if you get a full pie of pizza, share with a couple slices with the employees. And I think it's really cool that Blackbird acknowledges the work that their employees do. And I think, you know, you're a testament to that, obviously. You know, going forward, what is, you know, obviously to go back to the COVID-19 topic, what is Blackbird going to do, right? Obviously, you know, we come out of this quarantine, you know, maybe late May, beginning of June. You know, do you think that your business model is going to stay the same, you know, just because people are nervous about the virus, or you think it's going to completely drop down after this is all over?
You know, I think it's somewhere in between. I don't think it's going to go back to where we were before all of this. I think you now have people who are much more comfortable getting delivery. A lot of the people that we're going to had never ordered cannabis delivery before. And at the same time, I think that moving forward, that anyone in the direct-to-consumer space, like I was mentioning before, has to be very focused on sustainability. And not just sustainability in the terms of like being able to keep your business running, but what does this impact, you know, down the road? We're seeing this huge shift in culture and this immediate response to the COVID-19 crisis. And meanwhile, like, you know, there's so many things that are just on the horizon in terms of this industry expanding and just so many unexpected layers of how things could really change. And so I think that Blackbird has always been built to be very responsive and to be nimble in that sense, and being able to expand and shift with how things run. I mean, we started, like as you mentioned, doing direct to consumer and being the first in the industry to have a distribution license here in Nevada, and then that rolled into us, you know, getting into tech and getting into software. And so, you know, I really trust the leadership of this company and the capacity to shift. But I think that this event, you know, this crisis that we're all experiencing and navigating is going to change all of us really forever.
Yeah, no, I agree too.
Yeah, same.
I mean, especially from a consumer behavior standpoint, right? I mean, I think, you know, you probably know all about it when it comes to delivering, you know, delivery to the consumer. A lot, you know, it didn't really catch on a lot in Vegas, and, you know, companies like, you know, Puffy and stuff like that would do tons of marketing, but, you know, their service would just be horrible, right? And I think people would deliver one time, they wouldn't deliver anymore. But I want to get back to, you know, your role as a marketing director and, you know, at Blackbird and kind of this issue back with the patients, right? And, you know, it's just a major problem, right? With the you know, the $100 minimums and all that stuff. And, you know, I hear cries from patients all the time. They just can't afford it, right? And, you know, among all the things that are happening with the virus, you know what I mean? This is just another one of them, right? But let's, you know, just to get some insight, you know, from the marketing director, what kind of marketing program do you think would work for the patients regarding delivery at Blackbird?
You mean like in terms of how our retail partners approach things or how we approach things?
So let's take a look at the issue that the patients can't get medicine right now because of the high minimum orders, right? So let's just agree, you know, that that's an issue, right? The patients aren't able to get their medicine, a lot of them, right? You as a marketing director at Blackbird, if you were able to, would you create a marketing program for the patients? Would it be possible? And if so, how would you do that?
You know, I think that there's several layers to like that issue as well, because a lot of the time, you know, the experiences of people who are part of Nevada's medical program experiencing that barrier of being able to like meet that minimum. And then, you know, it always makes me think like, who do we consider a patient? I think that cannabis access in general is kind of an access, or is a patient's rights issue. When we talk about, you know, access to this plan and thinking about the barriers that are presented, I would try to explain like as directly as possible, you know, the various layers to it, because it's not as though these companies are wanting to ratchet up the price so that they're like maximizing every single car that goes out. But there's like also the layer of having to shift, as I was saying, like their business model and all of these different things. But I think that, you know, there has to be some prioritizing. So when we first had to shift to the current delivery model that we're on now, we asked everyone to reserve the first hour that we had our menus open for medical patients, kind of give that priority to the people who need this plan. And I think that, you know, I mean, there's so many things I think about. It's like insulin has the same issue, and you know, all these medications have such complex kind of pricing structures built around them. And not that makes it any easier, but or better, or somehow like more explainable. But I think cannabis is in this really precarious place, because you have people who identify as a patient and who are connected to the medical program. They've been part of cannabis, you know, from the very beginning. And then you have people who are exploring it who might be using it for medical purposes without even realizing it. And so, yeah, I think I would encourage everyone to kind of institute some kind of priority for their patients and to offer more ways to order, whether or not it is being able to come down on the order minimum for patients specifically, or, you know, being able to give some kind of break or deal, you know what I mean? I think that we just have to come together as a cannabis community and really understand, you know, what's at stake and what's going on here, because, you know, it is, there's so many layers, and especially when so many companies are managed by people who are not part of the community or not part of it being like geographically in the location, I think it becomes even harder for people to really navigate those situations.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think that's something that me and JC always say too, like what you mentioned, you know, who is a patient, right? At the end of the day, you know, cannabis is a medicine, whether you're using it for a medicine or not. And even if you don't think you're using it as a medicine, you probably are using it as a medicine, right? You know, a long day after work, you come home, you smoke a joint, you chill out. There's very little side effects to that, right? Instead, you know, or you can come home and drink four beers. And I think, you know, I think we all know that, you know, kind of the difference between that and the effect between that. And, I think your ideas are good, and I think, you know, the issue, like you mentioned earlier, it comes down to the retail dispensary, right? Mm-hmm. They have to be the ones willing to take on that role of.
Well, I think it's a joint. You know, it's something that can be accomplished together. You know, I think some of your ideas with, you know, the
and maybe specific, brands too.
Yeah, brands too, specific. You know, times, lower prices. I'm an advocate of, you know, just lower minimums for medical patients, right? I think it could be as easy as that, and you can limit it, right?
And there's dispensaries that are doing it. Bloom in Reno is doing multiple things to help with you know, with that, right? With lower minimums depending on how far you are and whatnot, and so. I think there are ways to do it. I think it's, like you said, a very complex issue, but something that we're going to have to figure out, because if this ever happens again, which it possibly could, we need to make sure that we can get cannabis to patients.
Yes. Yeah.
But
really highlights like a very specific issue, like in cannabis, that not a lot of people, at least that have been speaking to, really talk about. But it's like this separation of recreational and medical. And not necessarily like in the product or in the way that people are treated or any of that, but like in the idea that what, you know, that pharmaceutical companies are treated very different than like alcohol companies. And so at what point does this become like an access issue? And at what point are we going to see people emerging that are like medical only, that are specifically focused on like the lobbying efforts behind medical, that are, you know, building that trajectory to have the case that this should be accessible because it's medicine? Whereas they're now being lumped in with everyone else. And these articles are coming out about, you know, oh, people are just drinking and smoking pot all the time and in quarantine because they have nothing else to do, which is like, okay, maybe true. But at the same time, like we were just saying, you don't know what's going on with those people. They could be using it to manage their PTSD without even realizing it. They could be doing, you know, managing their eating disorders. Like, there's so many different use cases that I think that there has to be, you know, more research into understanding what that separation really is so that we can understand where the gap is. Because without knowing, you know, you have so many people who might be medical or might not, and without knowing exactly like what we're managing, how do we make systems better? How do we, like,
I think we, you know, we have, you know, we have, you know, cancer patients, you know, we have, you know, people out there with HIV. It's very, you know, it's very clear that there's definitely sick people out there, and it's different than the recreational user, even if they are using it on a recreational level medicinally, right? But yeah, you know, I think you got a great head on your shoulders. You know, Blackbird has been a pillar in the community for a long time. What's next for you, brother?
I mean, I'm just trying to weather the storm right now.
You're not plotting, scheming on quarantine?
No, not really. No, we're really excited. We're gearing up to kind of revamp our software side in the marketing realm a little bit. We've been very focused on our B2B or B2C strategy and really speaking with consumers and patients and kind of getting more involved in the community and getting our recognition back up. We went radio silent for a long time as we didn't have anybody to create content really. And so now that that's kind of in a much better position, we're really narrowing in on taking a large market share in the tech space. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
And I'll say one more thing. I think that, you know, and I don't want to talk out of turn, and I think Tony and all of our partners will talk about this, but if there is a way that the brands can get involved with kind of helping this medical issue and working in tandem with the delivery drivers and the stores, you know, let's have that conversation. You know, I think it would be, you know, a great move for Blackbird and for us. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who need help. You know?
Yeah, I'll get some cheap weed for some patients.
100%. Yeah, not really cheap weed, quality meds, right?
Well, yeah, but not cheap weed.
But, I mean, so they can get it, right?
Available products.
You know,
that's what it comes down to, right? You know, make it inexpensive at one part. You give a discount, and then, you know, it ends up being they get a good enough discount where it makes it accessible.
Making it accessible.
This is the last question. I think in California, but I just want to know, what is the first bar and or restaurant you're going to go to in Reno when this is over?
Oh man, Public House, without a doubt.
Public House, okay.
Public House is like my Cheers, and I spend way too much money, way too much time there. But especially when it's nice like this, they have a gorgeous patio, and I just miss all my friends.
Dope. Well, you know what? Next time we're up in Reno and this is all done, we'll have to, you know, meet up at Public House and we'll get a drink and hang out and talk about how we can help patients.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time, my man. Before you let you go, plug yourself, plug your company. Where can they find you at? Where can they find your company at?
So my name is Jamal Barghouti. You can find me on Instagram, True Gay Icon. I work for Blackbird. You can order delivery for cannabis in the state of Nevada if you go to blackbirdgo.com and browse dispensaries in your area.
Awesome. Thank you so much, brother. We really appreciate it. You hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll have you back on soon.
Thank you, brother.
Sweet. Thank you, guys. Thanks. Have a good one.
Thanks. Wow.
Good guy.
Good guy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, and I think that's the issue, right? You know, the conversations aren't happening, right? And so you have a guy like that who has ideas, mm-hmm. and then the conversation not happening, you know. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that it really, for the patients, ends up back on the dispensary at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, without, you know, it's them who make the minimums. It's them who set the prices for the retail. Mm-hmm. It's them who set the prices for medical.
But so, if we don't have the conversations about it, nothing ever happens.
Of course. Yeah. And, you know, the conversation needs to start, and it needs to start somewhere, and it started today. Hopefully we can get the ball down the field.
I'm going to reach out to him after.
Yeah. You should. You should. I think you should reach out to every dispensary that we sell at too.
Oh, I'm definitely doing that.
what dispensary are those, by the way?
Which ones are we in?
What dispensaries are we?
So right now, you know, it is, you know, you can get delivery, but you can also get drive through. That's right. You can get up in the morning. I don't think it's too bad, right? But
I think it's the morning and afternoons where you need to go.
You can go over the Tanuwu on the Paiute land over there in downtown Las Vegas. We have ounces, pre-rolls, half ounces over there. Go get them.
Pick them up.
Where else we got them at?
We got them in Bloom Reno and Bloom DI. They're rocking and rolling with all our products. A new drop will be coming there pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Sahara Wellness.
Yes, all that. And, you know,
Acres Cure Leaf.
Yep, Acres Cure Leaf. Right now we have the pre-rolls, the half ounces and the ounces, but starting very soon,
probably next week
we're going to drop a bunch of new flower SKUs. You know, sometimes maybe a half ounce or ounce is too much, right?
Yeah, so you might need an eighth or a quarter, and you know, maybe some ready to rolls, and you know,
those are all going to be available next week. Culture and Cannabis ready to rolls, eighths, quarters,
all of it.
It's happening.
Check it out. We're going to be posting some stuff on Instagram here pretty soon. I wanted to talk about something else. I completely spaced it, though.
You're going to give me a compliment, I think. No?
Rick's laughing in the background right now, if anyone can hear that. I think that was it, though. I think that was a pretty good podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were a little late today. We're sorry about that. But, you know, sometimes that happens. We're very busy. We're stonish. We're gonna have some new content coming out. You know, some new content style coming out that we shot today.
We did shoot some today. Shout out to Pizza Stone.
Shout out to Pizza Stone. We shot some great content with Madison today at the police department. Ironically, and
it was at the police department.
We got some pizza. So we're gonna be doing some new, more less focused on the cannabis, but more focused on the culture. The idea is talking about the food, the art, the music, the activities, everything, you know, in and around the cannabis culture that affects cannabis culture. We want to be talking about, reporting on, and kind of showing, you know, what we do, right?
Yeah, participating in it, getting in it.
Getting your hands dirty, you know, eating some good food, listening to some good music, seeing some good art.
A lot of people in the industry don't participate in the culture. That's not us at all.
We want to show that. So be on the lookout for some new content series. Culture is, I think, is what we're going to call it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you fill in the blank. Culture is food. Culture is art. Culture is music. Mm-hmm. Culture is Anthony Lee.
Full-time Tony.
Culture is JC.Coates. Now without the underscore, before with the underscores not in the culture, with the dot in the culture. But that's it. I think that was the podcast this week.
That was a good one.
We got in, we got out. We appreciate everyone for listening and or watching. If you don't subscribe to our YouTube channel, maybe you should subscribe.
You should subscribe.
If you don't subscribe to our podcast on any podcast platform, you should subscribe. We've dropped lots of good content. Sometimes some discounts on the show. We got lots of great guests, like Jamel.
Listen, if you want to know what's going on in the cannabis industry in Nevada, this is the place to get it. We just had the marketing director of Blackbird. Yes, last week I think we almost had just about, 40 brands that participated. This is the place to get your information, find out what's happening in the culture, with the patients, with the cannabis. This is it, the Culture and Cannabis Podcast.
And I think we're probably going to do another virtual event pretty soon.
I think so. I think the people want it.
I think, you know, not 5 hours by any means. There's no way we can. I might die if we get another 5 hours.
We're not going to do that to you again.
But please don't. Please don't. But we might do like an hour and a half, 2 hours, music, activities, same type of stuff that we did, but just shorter, way more jam-packed. And yeah, so be on the lookout for that. If you don't follow me already, you should follow me on Full-Time Tony. We're doing this new campaign that JC doesn't know about called The Road to 10,000 for Anthony Lee.
Let's get him there.
Come on, guys. I really need to get the swipe up feature, and the only way to get it is to get 10,000 followers, and I'm nowhere even close yet. I'm only at like 3,500, and we got a long ways to go, and I need some help. So
I'll repost you later.
Thanks. Yeah, Mr. Famous over here is going to get me up to his hopefully 17,000 followers, so that'd be nice.
That's a wrap.
That was the Culture and Cannabis Podcast. Thank you guys for listening and or watching, and we'll see you guys next Thursday. Peace.